So we're finished with the Christmas season. Advent, Christmas, it went so fast. Now we're in ordinary time. And we transition from the Advent-Christmas cycle into ordinary time for a few weeks until Lent starts, and then ordinary time gets broken, and we'll pick it up after Lent-Easter cycle. So this Sunday is called the second Sunday of ordinary time. There is no first Sunday of ordinary time. It just transitions for the first week, and it ends with this second Sunday. And interestingly, this is a transition Sunday, and so, as often happens in the liturgical cycle with transition days, we read from the Gospel of John. Now, the lectionary is based on a three-year cycle. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were in cycle B this year, so we're going to be reading all year from Mark. But today we read from John because we're in this transitional Sunday of the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. Just little tidbits of information for you. Okay. Obviously, these readings today are about call, about vocation. In the first book of Samuel, we read about the little boy Samuel sleeping in the temple with the priest Eli, and three times he hears the Lord calling him, and he thinks it's Eli, and finally Eli says, "No, it must be God. So just say, speak it. Your servant is listening." So it's a vocational call to Samuel to be the prophet. Now, in these readings, there's a lot of talk about body. And there's also a lot of talk in what I often call kingdom language. It's this exaggerated, perfected kind of language, like they dropped everything and followed him for the rest of their lives. Really? You know, that doesn't sound like what we normally do. Our following is with fits and starts, and it's much more gradual than that. But in this kingdom kind of language, they just drop everything and follow him for the rest of their lives, just simple as that. And you hear John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," you know, this announcement of kind of the whole mystery of salvation, the mystery of who Christ is in one short sentence. It's all kind of exaggerated kingdom language. But that call, that exaggerated language, and the body are interesting how they are intertwined here. So, for example, you might remember the story about Samuel. He gets one of those miraculous birth stories in the Old Testament. His mother is praying in the temple, and Eli, the priest, she's moving her lips, but she's praying silently, and he thinks she's drunk, so he goes and tells her to go and sober up from her wine and get out of the temple. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying with my whole being to God because I'm forsaken. You know, she's an old woman and she's barren. She's never had children. And so Eli says, come back next year and you'll have a child with you. So she goes and has relations with her husband, and sure enough, Samuel is born. So she dedicates Samuel to the temple. As soon as he's weaned, she brings him back to the temple, and he stays there for the rest of his life. Okay? It's typical of those vocation stories in the Bible. So when we pick it up tonight, he's sleeping in the temple because that's where he lives. And the priest Eli, he goes and he keeps waking him up, thinking that he is calling him, but it's God. So in the second reading, St. Paul says, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are bodily joined to Christ. The mystical body of Christ, he is the head and we are his body. The church is the body of Christ. And so this body language is all over the place. Samuel lives in the temple with his body. In other words, he puts his whole life into it. Okay, in the gospel we have John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is very similar to Samuel in several ways. One is that Samuel, one of the things he's most famous for is he is the one who anoints King David, who is the greatest king of Israel. So Samuel is a kind of a precursor of David. He anoints the one who is his better, more significant person. John the Baptist is the precursor of Christ. He's the one who announces, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's the one who announces to the world that this one is the Savior, the Messiah. And both of them put their whole bodies, their whole lives into it. Samuel lives in the temple. John the Baptist lives in the desert, where he has this ministry of baptizing people. And he's eating wild honey and locusts, which is the same food, and he wears camel hair. These are marks of the prophet. Elijah, Israel's greatest prophet, wore those clothes and ate on those foods. So he is the new announcer of salvation. So they put their whole being into it, their bodies and their souls. And one of the things that St. Paul is saying is, unlike the Greeks who separated body from soul and saw humans as a spirit trapped in a body, and the whole perfect, the whole idea in Greek philosophy is to get out of the body and back to the spirit world, which is the only real world. But the Jews never held that. They always held that a human being is made up of a body and a soul, and that if you take them apart, you don't have a human being. It takes both of those to make a human being. So when Paul, who comes out of Judaism, but is converted radically to Christ, and Paul throws his body into his ministry, he travels all over the known world, he's shipwrecked, he's beaten, he's imprisoned, he throws his entire body, his entire self into his ministry. So he understands what he's talking about. And he says, God dwells in your body. Don't be looking for God out there somewhere. And St. Augustine says something very similar. He says, Lord, I was out there looking for you, and all the time you were in here. Paul is reminding those listeners, those readers, you are made up of body and soul, and your soul, through your body, is joined to Christ, and therefore it is holy. Well, when we celebrate liturgy, we're celebrating that same reality. We're encouraged to throw our whole bodies into this. Liturgy is very corporeal, isn't it? We stand, we sit, we kneel, we process, we make signs of the cross, we bow, we kiss, we process to communion, we eat, we drink. I mean, this is not some mind game we're playing here. This is a very corporeal experience because we are encouraged to put our whole selves into this, to offer our lives along with Christ on the altar of sacrifice, that there's something sacrificial about this, that there's something self-offering about this. It's our ritual way of doing the same thing that those early disciples did, dropping everything and following him. It's the same thing that Samuel and John the Baptist did, and it's the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. So let's just look quickly at the term Lamb of God. It's kind of a strange thing to say. Look, there goes the Lamb of God. What do we mean by that? Well, that term Lamb and Lamb of God appears all over in the Bible, and it's all about self-sacrifice. It originates really in the book of Isaiah, where he talks about the suffering servant who goes like an innocent lamb to the slaughter. And so Jesus takes the place of the Passover lamb at the Last Supper. They don't have lamb at the Last Supper, they have Jesus. He takes the place of the lamb. And then he offers his body on the cross as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of sacrifice. And thereby he shows us who God is. God is the self-sacrificing one. God is the giver, not the taker. God is the one who allows himself to be abused and taken advantage of and unjustly punished, all those kinds of things. And And so if Jesus is telling us that that's who God is, and our bodies are the temple of God, and we are one with God, then that says something about who we are too. That we are offerers, that we are self-sacrificing, that we are willing to be lambs, innocent lambs taken to the slaughter. We pour out our lives in service, not only here ritually, but after we go out into the world, we put our bodies into it. We feed the poor. We listen to one another. We express our compassion mentally, spiritually, and bodily. We call it the corporal works of mercy, don't we? The works of mercy that we put our body into, that are actual physical aids to one another and to the world. This is the way we are Christ to the world. This is the way we are Christ's body, the church, individually and corporately.